What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back.
We took the week off last week. Thank you guys for being understanding and patient. We got a lot of really sweet messages from our listeners, and we just appreciate y'all and love y'all so much. We've been going through it.
It has been different sides of the spectrum,
but
we were just talking about this the other day, how we've all been like, oh my gosh, when can we just catch a break? And it's like, wait, is this the new normal? Like, is this just I guess maybe, but
yeah, I hope not. I genuinely hope not. I think it's just like a rough time for a lot of people. And like you even said that a lot of people speculate that 2024 is like the year of the reset.
Yes.
After the craziness.
2020. It's like there's a lot of the same. It's obviously a leap year because it's been 4 years, but it's like the same election candidates. And there's a couple other things that people have pointed out. It's like the same as 2020. So hopefully this is just like a reset and everything will go back to normal.
I just need to
like turn it off and turn it back on of the world.
Unplug it, plug it back in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm looking forward to a good rest of the year. So
yes, manifest it.
Manifest it, pray for it, all of the things. I was like, I was literally telling Matt, I was like, I'm about to do like a cleansing ritual. I've done things like that in the past and like, do they work? I don't know. But I'm like at my wit's end. Like I'm willing to try anything within
reason.
Even if
it's a placebo effect that like you do it and then you feel like things get better, then who cares? If that works, that works.
Yeah. Like just fake it till you make it, right? All right. Well, enough with the jibber jabbering. Let's get into today's case. And I'm going to be discussing a case that I had never heard of. And it disappoints me greatly because this is such a huge case. And really, it's two cases that are seemingly connected. But it is the disappearances of Shane Walker and Christopher Dansby.
I have not heard either of those names.
And I'm not surprised, honestly, because
okay,
I mean, I don't know why, because they're like literal babies that went missing. And well, we'll just get into it. I won't say too much now. We'll just get into it.
Okay.
On May 18th, 1989, 2-year-old Christopher Dansby, was playing with his mother at the Martin Luther King Jr. Towers Playground in Harlem, New York. His mother, Allison Dansby, needed to run to the local market to pick up a few items, and she left Christopher in the care of her mother, who was also at the park. Upon Allison's return, Christopher was nowhere to be found, vanishing without a trace. Then, nearly 3 months later, on August 10th, 1989, 1-year-old Shane Walker was also at the same playground in Harlem with his own mother, Rosa Glover, when a 10-year-old girl and her 5-year-old little brother asked if they could play with him. Moments later, Shane disappeared. The circumstances of these disappearances raise questions about a potential connection or a hauntingly inexplicable coincidence that continues to baffle investigators, the families, and their community alike.
Mm, my gosh.
I know. It makes like literally a pit in my stomach.
That
like,
is so – whether it's they're connected or not, which I'm guessing you're going to get into – but either way, that's terrifying.
Terrifying, yeah.
And it makes me never want to take my child to a park, which I know I can't do. And I know that it's, you know, you just have to keep your eye on them. But it feels like even if you do, anything can happen.
Yeah. And times obviously are a lot different now. Like, there's always been horrible people. I think we're just more aware of it now with like social media and like news, online, internet, all that stuff. But it did feel safer back then. It did feel like you could turn away for a moment or two or leave your child in the care of like little kids playing and you would be okay.
Right.
But the reality is that it can, yeah, it can always happen. And
I mean,
I think we're more vigilant now as parents.
We are, and just more aware, like you said, like we just know more. But my mom, when I was a kid, so probably 25 years ago, took me and my sister to a park and saw a guy. There weren't a lot of people at the park. Saw a guy trying to break into cars, like trying door handles on cars, and she was so freaked out that she basically took me and my sister and like hid behind a hill.
I remember you telling me this story. That made me have like goosebumps all over. That is so freaking scary.
Yeah, and she was like,
and your sister was like a little baby, right?
Yeah, my sister was a baby, so I was probably four maybe, and my sister was like not even one. And my mom was like so terrified because she was alone. She was like, what do you do? Know if me and my sister were going to like make noise or something. And then this guy might see that she has seen him. And then who knows what he might do. So, I mean, it's always been a thing. But I feel like now we're just more aware of that type of thing. But yeah, definitely makes me not want to take my child to a park.
I know. Or anywhere. Just keep him inside in a bubble forever. Which is not realistic.
No,
so.
But
yeah. So Christopher Milton Dansby was born on March 30th, 1987 to Allison Dansby and Milton Westcott Robbins. Christopher had one sibling, an older brother named LaVon, who was about 3 years old at the time.
Okay.
And their family, like I mentioned before, lived in the Martin Luther King Jr. Towers in Harlem, New York. Christopher, who often went by the nickname Choo Choo,
loved.
I know. Isn't that so sweet?
Oh, like, Choo-choo. That's adorable.
He loved to play outside. Like, that was one of his favorite things to do. Like, most kids loved being outside. So, on May 18th, 1989, his mother, Allison, took Christopher, along with several of their family members, to the park at the apartments where they lived. So, I'm envisioning, like those high-rise apartments, you know, like, with several floors and kind of in the middle of all of that is a large playground, like not just your typical like small playground, like kind of over in the cut, like it was a large area with a playground.
That would make sense, especially like if whoever owned the building wanted to attract families. So there's like this big playground there for families to come and like have a place to take their kids to play that's like right at the apartment complex.
Right. And it was always super populated. There was tons of like people there at all times. It was a lower income area. Like some of the apartments were like the projects, if you will.
Right.
But there was, like you said, tons of family and it attracted tons of families for sure. Okay. A little before 7 p.m., Allison left the park to go to the store to pick up some food, leaving Christopher in the care of her mother, Elizabeth Manley, and her sister, Addie Manley. So they were watching Christopher with his brother LaVon and their 7-year-old cousin Elton. And reports state that Christopher was last spotted by his grandmother playing with a red ball near one of the public restrooms at approximately 7 p.m. Upon Allison's return, Christopher was nowhere to be found. Oh, Elizabeth would later inform the police that she briefly looked away from Christopher for about 5 or 10 minutes while she was chatting with a friend. And he was playing with his cousin and his brother, but they could not recall what happened to him.
Well, they're little kids. They're not paying attention.
They're like 3 and 7. Yeah. So they're not, you know, being aware of their surroundings at all.
Yeah. He might have gone and kicked the ball off somewhere and went to go get it and they think nothing of it. And then somebody like grabs him or something. Yeah.
Right. Elizabeth mentioned that Christopher had been playing with a red ball, and Allison said, we didn't bring a red ball to the park, so where did this red ball come from? But again, it's a large park. There's probably lots of random toys strung about that, you know, families leave behind. Yeah. I feel like that happens even small parks.
Yeah.
But despite Allison's best efforts to find the missing ball and her son, both had seemingly disappeared without a trace.
That's so scary.
I know. I just can't even imagine that. I never, ever want to think about that feeling. No. There was one time when, and this sounds so stupid, but I lost Manny in our house. And he was like 15 months old, I think. Uh-huh. So he was like walking and, you know, talking and stuff. But there was complete silence. And he was in his playroom, like on the bottom shelf of his changing table.
Oh, my
gosh. Playing like so quietly. And I like frantically was looking all over the house. So
yeah.
Imagine that, like intense, that feeling intensified because you're at a public place.
Yeah.
I cannot.
That's so scary. I actually saw a TikTok just the other day that was like, if you can't find your child in your house, these are the first places to look. And it was like the dryer. If you have any places of water, like a pool, check the pool, check like the bathtubs. And then I forget what else it said, but those were like the top three of like, that's where to check first. Because if they're in a room, they're fine. But if they're in a situation like that, then they could get hurt. So it was like, check these places first, because that's where they could get hurt.
Right. And it's like time sensitive. If they're like in a dryer or in a pool or in even in a like a front loading washing machine, like I've heard horrific stories about children getting trapped in those things and passing away.
Yeah. Yeah. So
good. That is a good reminder to check the important places first.
Right.
Allison and her family tirelessly searched every corner of the park, asking anyone if they had seen a little boy resembling Christopher. Frantic with worry, Allison immediately reached out to the New York Police Department, and that prompted a thorough search from investigators. Exhaustive efforts followed with police combing through all 1,800 apartments in the Martin Luther King Jr. Towers, which is amazing. They searched every single apartment.
That's crazy.
They brought in cadaver dogs who searched the area, as well as nearby sewers and abandoned structures, because it was a lower income area and there was several like abandoned buildings in the area.
Okay.
They also had helicopters overhead searching and scuba diving teams searching nearby waterways. Retired NYPD Inspector Ken Lindahl revealed that a dog had actually traced Christopher's scent down Lenox, which was one of the roads that kind of ran parallel to the park. And unfortunately, that scent stopped around 110th Street, which was like a couple of blocks down the road. And that kind of leads me to think maybe Christopher was abducted by a vehicle, because why else would his scent just stop, you know?
Yeah.
Lindahl further noted a hole in the park's fence on Lenox Avenue, which was frequently used by children, as well as numerous park entrances and exits, emphasizing the ease with which someone could snatch a child, especially considering how busy the park was. So you would typically think a busy park, someone would notice. But when it's so busy, you're not going to notice every little thing. There's too many objects, too many things happening for your eyes to focus in on something like that.
And people are smart and they might, you know, not just grab him and he's screaming, yelling, especially at 2 years old. Like, he might not know any better. So they, you know, somebody could have just grabbed his hand and he could have happily walked off and nobody would think anything of that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like some kids are like that. They're very much like, you know, personable and like outgoing. So they would just go to a stranger. Whereas other kids are like, don't touch me. Don't look at me. Like, stranger
and
danger.
And you never know. And then the other scary part of that is like, I mean, we all know that people will try to be like, oh, I have candy. I have puppies. I know your mom. Yeah. Let me take you to your mom. Like, these predators are so good at this type of stuff that it is terrifying. And
calculated. You know,
and a busy park, people are paying attention to their own kids. So unless you see somebody like kicking and screaming, you're probably not going to think anything of it.
Right. Yeah. Despite a thorough search by the NYPD, there was no sign of Christopher. Newsday reported the involvement of the Bureau of Child Welfare probing for any signs of negligence, which there seemed to not be any.
Okay.
Christopher's parents and relatives underwent polygraph tests, yielding inconclusive results, and their phone lines were also tapped, though nothing significant came from that. So they did a pretty thorough investigation of pretty much everything they could. Yeah. And unfortunately, just nothing came from it. Mm. Soon after Christopher's abduction, police learned that he had been seen playing with two children before he disappeared. A 10-year-old girl and her 5-year-old little brother. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, keep that in your back pocket. We will get back to that detail in a little bit.
Okay.
Then a 7-year-old boy from Christopher's neighborhood came forward with his parents to tell authorities he had seen Christopher walking on 111th Street later that day. According to the witness, Christopher was accompanied by an unidentified, thin, light-skinned black male with dreadlocks between the ages of 25 and 30 and about 6 foot tall. I will share the composite sketch of this man on our social media accounts just for, you know, anybody.
Reference.
Yeah, recognizes him.
Right.
Unfortunately, Christopher was unable to be located and his case eventually runs cold. Then, nearly 3 months later, another child is abducted from that same exact park. Interestingly, that was not the only similarity in the two cases.
No.
Shane Anthony Walker was born on December 7th, 1987, in New York, New York, to Rosa Glover and James Walker. Shane was a happy baby, a little on the quiet side, unless, of course, he was being tickled by his mother. So reports said that, like, he was unusually quiet for a baby, but, like, very mild, you know, mild temperament, didn't really laugh, didn't really engage too much, but he always would giggle and laugh whenever his mom tickled him, which is just so cute. Like, little baby.
Yeah.
Shane loved teddy bears and monkeys. And shortly before his disappearance, their family had taken a trip to Disney World, where Shane thoroughly enjoyed the rides, but was not the biggest fan of Mickey Mouse.
Hey, I get it. Mickey Mouse can be a little scary.
Big. He's big.
Yeah, I get it.
On the afternoon of August 10th, 1989, Rosa had the day off, so she decided to take Shane to the park where they lived, because they also lived in the same apartments. Shane was sitting on the porch with his mom, enjoying a little treat, when two children, a brother and a sister, approached her asking if they could play with Shane. So they told her that they were 10 and 5 years old, and Rosa told them, well, he's kind of young, like, are you sure you want to play with him? And they responded, we don't mind. According to sources, Rosa thought that this was a little strange because they were so much older than Shane. But she reluctantly allowed the kids to push Shane in the swing as she watched them from a park bench.
Okay.
As the children played, a man came and sat beside Rosa on the bench and struck up a conversation with her. And you'll never guess what the topic of conversation was.
What?
The recent kidnapping of Christopher and how places were no longer safe.
Wow.
After a moment of chatting with the man, Rosa turned back to look for Shane, but he was gone, along with the children he had been seen playing with. Rosa immediately got up and began searching for Shane when she encountered the two children that had been playing with him and asked them where Shane was. They explained to her that they had left him in the park, but they no longer knew where he was. Rosa promptly escorted the children to the Harlem 29th Precinct Police Department to report Shane's disappearance. Police officers initiated a massive search that spanned across the parks, the apartment towers, and the surrounding neighborhood, yet their efforts unfortunately yielded no sign of Shane. I know. Eventually, police were able to track down the man who was talking to Rosa that afternoon, and he was cleared of any involvement.
Okay.
So, it's a weird coincidence that he came in, distracted her, talking about the other disappearance. Just a very huge coincidence, I guess. Police questioned Shane's parents and other family members, as they initially suspected maybe he had been taken by a relative, but they too were cleared of any involvement.
Okay.
Sadly, after extreme efforts to locate Shane, there were no solid clues or evidence leading to his whereabouts. And much like Christopher's case, Shane's case runs cold.
Oh my gosh.
Despite the glaring similarities, authorities at first refused to link the disappearances of Christopher and Shane.
Why?
Pointing out discrepancies in the suspects' descriptions, which is wild to me because, in my opinion, they are incredibly similar. And we'll touch base on that again in a moment.
Okay, and also eyewitness accounts are not like perfect recollections. So even if there's some discrepancies, it could be the same person. Like people might have not remembered exactly. People aren't paying attention to this purposefully. Like
And just the fact that they were abducted from the same park within 3 months of each other. That I would hone in on that. I would make that my number one priority to try and link them because it's just too big of a coincidence.
Yeah, I agree. There's too many other similarities to say, oh no, they're not linked because the suspect is a little bit different. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. So this outraged the community because they're like, one, how the fuck could two young boys of the same age vanish from the same park without any connection?
Yeah, no, that's...
No.
No.
Family members of the missing boys were adamant there was a connection. For one, both incidents occurred when family members were present but momentarily distracted. The boys were both black male toddlers living in the exact same apartment complex. And this is an eerie similarity too, is that both disappearances took place on a Thursday evening.
Ooh.
Christopher was abducted around 7 p.m. and Shane was abducted around 5 p.m., which only further fueled suspicions that their cases are linked.
Yeah.
And that could just also be a huge coincidence, but I'm just like,
yeah, that's
weird. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
Ultimately, police announced that they did speculate that the two disappearances were connected. They theorized that the boys were either taken by people who could not have children of their own, or that both boys' disappearances were connected to a black market baby ring operation.
Oh my God.
That just like sends chills down my spine. Mm-hmm. So now we're gonna go back to that detail that I feel is just too coincidental to brush off, which is the brother and sister duo.
Mm-hmm.
So these siblings were spotted playing with Christopher and Shane right before they disappeared. However, according to police, both children were thoroughly questioned and investigated along with their parents. Regrettably, no clues emerged from their interviews. So they were ruled out. Yeah. Meanwhile, authorities sought details about a man seen at the park during Christopher's abduction. The description revealed a black male aged between 25 and 30, standing approximately 6 feet tall. This man had a mustache but was otherwise clean shaven and a noticeable pink scar on the right side of his face and dreadlocks.
Okay.
Remarkably, the description, as I mentioned before, bore a, in my opinion, striking resemblance to the man spotted during Shane's disappearance, which was a black man with dreadlocks between the ages of 19 and 24, around 5'8", wearing a yellow shirt and acid wash jeans. But police announced they were looking for two different men who just happened to both have dreadlocks, stating that that was the only similarity between the two men.
I don't think so, but okay.
I feel like the only thing that is that would catch me up on the details is the scar.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that would be pretty noticeable. But again, the second eyewitness account was from a 7-year-old who may not even notice a scar.
They might not even, a 7-year-old might not even know what a scar is. Like,
right.
They've never seen something like that, they might not be aware. And that makes a lot of sense that they wouldn't point it out.
Yeah. And also, a 7-year-old is not going to say, oh, he was between the ages of 19 and 24.
Yeah.
So we got one man who's 25 to 30, another man who's 19 to 24. I'm sorry, but those age ranges, you look the same.
Yeah.
You really look the same. I mean, you might have a little more baby fat or, you know, more round face at 19 as opposed to 30.
But
you pretty
no,
much
I
look
mean,
the same, especially men. I feel like men look the same for a long time.
Yeah. And I don't think that, like, I couldn't look at somebody and say, oh, that person's that age. Like, I could look at my husband and say he's 15 or he's 30. Like,
right.
You know, like, people don't, it's hard to say that. And especially when the witness accounts come from such a young kid, like, how.
I know.
That's so frustrating.
And then police are like, nope, they're not the same person. They're not, you know. And maybe they're not. Maybe they know each other. Maybe they're.
Yeah, they might not be.
Together, but just like.
Why are we ruling that out so quickly?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So the bizarre disappearances naturally sent shivers down the spine of Harlem residents who could not help but wonder, is my child next? In the wake of the disappearances, police officers patrolled the projects and the surrounding neighborhoods. The officers were assisted by a sound truck, which blared out information about the two missing toddlers. Missing persons flyers were distributed across the state, and the city put up a $30,000 reward for information that could lead to the boys.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty amazing. Police suspected that Christopher and Shane's cases could also be connected to another missing infant named Andre Bryant, who was abducted from Brooklyn in March of 1989. So Andre, he was much younger. He was like a literal baby. Like, I think he was 16 weeks old when he was taken.
Oh my God.
But his mother was actually murdered. So they found her body. And they didn't even know he was missing until they found her body and realized, oh my gosh, she has a baby and he's not here.
Oh my God.
So while differences exist between the three cases, the possibility once again arose that there could be a black market baby abduction ring.
Yeah.
And that could be the link between them.
Yeah.
However, this all remains purely speculative. Rosa and James, Shane's father, continue to reside in the same neighborhood while holding on to hope that Shane is out there somewhere waiting to be found.
Stop. I know.
They have moved from the apartment complex and they avoid the park where Shane was last sighted, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
Today, Shane would be 36 years old.
Oh my God, stop. I know. Burst into tears.
I know. That's just like his whole life.
Yeah.
His whole life.
Just
gone. When Shane vanished, he was wearing a blue and white shirt, light blue pants, and white LA Gear shoes. He has black hair and brown eyes. At the time of his disappearance, his hair was uncut, braided. So he had like little braids, like kind of like cornrow braids, but not like all the way back, but it was pulled back into a ponytail. He has a scar beneath his chin and a distinctive birthmark on his shoulder. Allison, Christopher's mother, has never stopped looking for her son. She explained in an interview that every day is like a nightmare. And every day she wakes up and her baby is still missing.
Oh my gosh, they were both so cute.
I know. Just looked up pictures of them. So precious. Just absolutely precious. Oh,
their little smiles.
I know. They're just like literal babies. Like, yeah. How?
Oh.
Allison explained, all this time has gone by and there is still no closure. It's just not okay. One of my kids is missing and I still don't know what happened. This month, Christopher would be turning 37 years old.
Mm.
At the time of his disappearance, he was wearing a blue jacket, a floral print shirt, blue jeans, and green and white sneakers. Christopher has black hair and brown eyes. He has a birthmark shaped like a figure eight on his right leg. Some sources say it was on his back, but I think maybe they're confusing it with Shane's birthmark.
Okay.
And he also had a burn scar on his thigh. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has released new images of what they think Christopher Dansby and Shane Walker would look like today.
I just saw those. That like broke my heart seeing that.
And they look eerily like, similar too, which is like
they kind of do.
Again, yeah. Another just coincidence, I'm sure, but I will share those photos as well as several other photos on our social media pages, and please share them. I mean, we just one little second, just click share, yeah, and sure. You know, get this case out there, because once again, a lot of people probably don't know about this case unless you're like local or you investigated crimes on your own time, but chances are a lot of people don't know about this case, just like we didn't.
Yeah.
Police are asking anyone with information about what happened to Shane or Christopher to please call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-577-TIPS, or you can call the New York Police Department at 646-610-6914 or the New York Housing Police Department at 212-410-8500. There is still that reward being offered for information that leads to these two boys. So I will have all this, you know, all this information linked in the show notes down below. So if you know anything, call it in. You can be anonymous, share the pictures. Hopefully somebody will see this. I think that if these boys are still out there, they likely have no idea that they were ever kidnapped. And I mean, these cases could be solved.
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's, I mean, so many cases like this are getting solved, and
yeah,
there can be answers out there. And, you know, even if it is the unfortunate, very likely possibility that they are no longer alive, their mm-hmm. families deserve closure and answers.
Yeah, I agree. But without theorizing too much, that is all I have for you guys today. We will have a brand new case with you guys for you guys later this week. But until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.